Today is Mother's Day. All our moms are dressed so pretty, and it's great to have each one with us. We want to continue to give thanks to our moms, remember the good that they have blessed us with, but also, if our moms are here now, have not gone to be with the Lord, let's let them know. Let's give them the praise today. Let them know how much we appreciate them and how much we love them. You know, one day, a teacher had just given her second grade pupils a lesson on magnets. Now came the question session, and she asked one of her pupils, "My name starts with an M, and I pick up things. What am I?" The child replied instantly, "A mother." You know, truly a mom's work is never done. Irma Bombeck once stated that the term working mother is kind of redundant because moms are always working, aren't they? And we must make sure that we never take our moms for granted. A great example of this is found in the incident where one day a mom had become weary of the constant disorder in her son's room. She laid down the law for every item that she had to pick up off the floor. They would have to pay her a nickel. At the end of the week, the boys owed her 65 cents. Well, she received the money promptly, along with a 50-cent tip and a note that read, "Thanks, Mom. Keep up the good work." You know, moms are very special people, and we've heard great tributes and testimonies this morning. You know, one little boy who was asked to define a mother answered it this way. "A mother is someone who buys you underwear when you wanted a model airplane." And it's true. Sometimes mom's values may be a little bit different than ours. I remember my mom, one of her pet peeves was that I always had clean underwear in case I got in an accident. You wouldn't want the ambulance workers to find you with dirty underwear. But it's true, though. Moms are very loving, and you can always count on mom. You know, Alan King once said that he has three brothers who are doctors. But he said, "When I'm sick, the only one who makes a house call is my mother." Moms also are pretty smart. Two moms were talking one day. The first mother said, "My three boys always stick together. When one gets into trouble, neither of the others will tell on him." The second mom asked, "Then how do you find out which one to punish?" The first mom replied, "Well, that's simple. I send all three of them to bed without supper, and the next morning I spank the one with the black eye." No matter how hard you try, it just seems sometimes you can't pull one over on good old mom, can you? Do you know, this morning, I'd like to just briefly share with you four characteristics of a godly woman. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, if you want to turn there with me. Before we look into these characteristics, as you're turning to Proverbs 31, 10, let me first note how important it is to recognize the value of a wife with a noble character. Men, let us not take the wives that God has blessed us with for granted. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubles." I think, unfortunately, today, so many times our wives and our mothers are taken for granted. We don't realize the value, the blessing that we have been given. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." But here also in Proverbs, we see some characteristics that really need to be part of a woman's life in order for her to truly be a godly woman. First of all, we see that a solid home must be built on a foundation of a permanent, unconditional commitment. In Proverbs 31, verse 12, it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Remember back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Some have added because he'll just get himself into trouble, but that's not in the original text. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helpmate suitable for him. And that sure goes along with or against the message of so many supporters of women's lib, feminism, and equal rights. You know, Nancy Lee DeMoss, in an article entitled Today's Woman in Search of Fulfillment, writes these words. She says, our society no longer promotes God's values for the woman. Femininity, modesty, discretion, virtue, and graciousness are seemingly relics of a bygone era, as out of place in a contemporary culture as the horse and carriage. As soon as we begin to consider our purpose for living, we discover a fundamental difference between God's plan and man's way of thinking. At the root of the feminist philosophy is the view that the woman exists to please and to fulfill herself, that she is an independent being, free to do as she pleases. But we must recognize from her creation, the woman was made from the man, for the man, and given to the man to help him and meet his needs. By being a helper, the woman finds her greatest fulfillment because she is functioning as she was designed by God. Now, before some of you get upset at me, remember this was written by a woman. And also, just to be fair, during the Fireproof series, we did stress the responsibility of the man to love his wife as Christ loved the church. But the bottom line is this, that when we desire to fulfill God's role for us in this world, our relationship will be rich and fulfilling. There are great rewards to serving others rather than expecting to be served. And when both husband and wife share this attitude, their marriage can truly be rich and rewarding, a relationship that no other relationship on this earth can come close to. So in summary, point number one, the godly woman is in her marriage to give, not to get, and she will keep on giving regardless of the cost. The woman who has yielded all her expectations to God has a grateful spirit. Secondly, the godly woman is willing to assume the responsibilities that come from running a home. In Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 13, and this is quite extensive, but I'm going to go ahead and take the time to read it this morning. Listen to this. It says, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servants' girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with ashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at all the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. A godly woman, doing the menial tasks required to take care of a home, are not beneath her. And that is such an important thing that I think each one of us, as we look back and reflect upon godly mothers, we can say that they were not afraid to accept the responsibility. And that responsibility is not light, is it? You know, I was looking on the internet at different videos, clips that could be shown on a Sunday morning. And I actually came across one last night that I thought was great. It was a clip about a man coming home. The children are out playing in the yard. Things are thrown all over the yard. He walks into the house and sees a remote control for the TV on the floor and toys all over the place. He's stepping on toys and everything's a mess. He walks into the kitchen and there's a peanut butter jar and other food all over the counter. The cabinets are open. Dishes are all over the place. And he's looking all over for his wife. He walks down the hallway again amongst more trash. And he walks in and the wife is sitting there reading a travel magazine on her bed. And he looks at her and with quite a voice of disdain, he says, "What are you doing? What is going on?" And she looked at him and very peacefully said, "Well, you know how each day when you come home from work, you ask me what I do all day? I didn't do it today." And I think that stresses the point. But a godly woman is willing to assume the responsibilities that come from running a home. Look back with me to Proverbs chapter 14, if you would. Just back a few pages there. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. We have to realize that taking care of a home entails actually a lot more than just housekeeping. In Proverbs 14:1, it says, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears it down." You know, a godly woman builds her home by encouraging and building up her children and her husband. Through a humble and a meek spirit, she desires to serve God by investing herself into her family. She will build up her husband and children by speaking well of them. With tender, encouraging words, she will bind up broken spirits, strengthen the weak, and help heal the scars of rejection and hurt. But the proud woman, on the other hand, tears down her home as well as others, by putting her needs and her desires before those of others. The woman who tears down her husband with an attitude of disrespect is exalting herself and foolishly tearing down her home. A foolish woman tears down her home by keeping score and insisting on retaliation. A foolish woman is unwilling to refrain her tongue and is quick to speak her own mind, regardless of whether or not her opinions are scripturally valid. So, again, a godly woman is willing to assume the responsibilities of caring for her home, but those responsibilities are not just the material parts of the home, but again, investing into her family. And what the difference, what difference an encouragement of a loving wife can be, again, of a loving mother who is willing to take the time. I was listening this morning to Dr. Stanley on TV, and his whole message was again on the difference that again a godly mother can make in the lives of her children, as she prepares them to go out into a world that truly, in so many ways, is contradictory to the Word of God. There are so many vices that are trying to steal people away from a relationship with God, and yet a godly mother instills those principles, those values, into her child from a young age. So again, a godly woman is willing to invest that time because she sees the urgency, the necessity of, again, instilling godly principles into her children. Look back with me to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. And I believe this is so vital for each of these aspects that we've already talked about and every area of our lives. We realize that a godly woman finds strength through her relationship with God. In Proverbs chapter 31, Beginning in verse 25, it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. How does she become clothed with strength and dignity? Why is it that she can laugh at the days to come, even if those days might contain travesty or trials? It comes from taking the time amongst all the other responsibilities to have that quiet time alone with God. Women, do not neglect your quiet time, your personal time with God. That is where the strength will come. That is where the wisdom will come. God is vital in each one of our lives, and having that time with Him is vital. You know, I once heard of a mother, and this is true, who locked herself into a literal prayer closet each day so that she could have uninterrupted time with God. She knew any other place in the house, the children would find her or the husband would find her. But she made a pact with her husband that for this amount of time, he was going to watch the children. And she literally locked herself in her prayer closet where she'd put a light so she could have time with God. That's how important it is. For it is that time with God that will give the strength, that will give the women the ability and the wisdom to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to her. It is that which enables you to be the woman that God wants you to be. And in Proverbs 31, verse 28, it's interesting that actually this passage here ends the same way that it began. Proverbs 31, verse 28, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Again, husbands, children, do not neglect to recognize all that our moms and wives do. Let us regularly thank them with both words and deeds. Sometimes it's easy to come home and say, I appreciate you. But it speaks so much more loudly when we put those words into actions, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, verse 31 says, give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Give her the reward she deserves. She deserves to be rewarded, to be thanked, to be praised for the work that she does. Do special things for her on a regular basis, not just one or two days out of the year. Our wives, our mothers deserve to be let known how special they are. You know, being a godly wife and a mother is not easy, but it is so important. Lydia Sigourney, a Christian educator of the last century, wrote regarding the responsibilities of young women as mothers. She said, hold them accountable for the character of the next generation. The strength of a nation is in the homes of its people. And what an awesome responsibility, but how true it is. The impact that moms will have on their children, especially from a young age, will impact their character and the character of the next generation of this world. Remember, our future leaders are the children of today, right? Our future evangelists are the children of today. The way that we train up our children is going to affect their lives and how they impact our world for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The strength of a nation is in the homes of its people. It's a mighty responsibility, as we see before, so many needs within our country, and how vital it is to train up godly children. This morning, I would like to say thank you, moms. Thank you for your loving sacrifices made on behalf of your husbands and children. Thank you for caring enough to train us, not only by words, but by example, so that we might be prepared to be the men and women that God has called us to be, making a difference in this world today for His glory. Right now, what I'd like to do is invite all the moms to come forward because we have just spent a lot of time talking about you. Now we're going to make you work. And we're going to have all the moms bring your hymnals up with you. And we're going to allow you to bless everyone here this morning. What number is it, Bill? Number 256. I understand that the women each year get upset if they don't have the opportunity to come forward and sing Amazing Grace. And we want to honor their wishes this morning. So number 256.
You going to play with them? How many verses are we doing, ladies?
Four?
How about the first and the last?
What was
first and the last?
See how good they sound.
Father, we just pray that your blessing will be upon them for the sacrifices that have been made through the years. Sacrifices on behalf of their children and their husbands. Sacrifices, Lord, to live a life that is worthy of your calling. To, again, enrich the lives of those that are part of her family. Lord, may you just bless her today and each day for just being who she is, the special person that you have created her. And we thank you in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Before you sit down, we'd like to invite each one to pick a flower.